5:33. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON, America's Heroes Group. We had our panelist was talking to us, but we didn't realize that the doctor was going to finish his conversation with the governor. And now we're going back to Sean Claiborne. Sean, VP of Wintrust Investments, and serves as a financial advisor located in Lansing, Illinois, at the First National Bank of Illinois. And Sean, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate
My pleasure, Cliff.
Good. We are always pleased to have you, America's Heroes Group Roundtable, financially speaking, with Sean. That's what we have relative to him. He knows all about the money, all about the money. So, another $484 billion, Sean. Now what? Tell us what's happening.
So basically, that's going to basically be added to this the package of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act, or the CARES Act, that the president originally signed on March 27th. So $25 billion of that is going towards testing, which is much overdue, much needed. Possibly, maybe they could even spend a little bit more on that compared to everything else that's going on in the world today. Mm-hmm. $60 billion towards helping community banks and small lenders. Yeah, $60 billion going towards emergency disaster relief, about $75 billion for hospitals. But what most people are talking about right now is the $310 billion that's being added to the payroll protection program. So that's going to be up and running again on Monday. So a lot of small businesses were eager to try to get loans to help finance their payrolls for the next 2 months. However, the money, once it hit the banks, dried up quickly. That money was actually expired within 13 days. The $349 billion was originally allocated last time around. After just 13 days, it was all dried up and all gone. So a lot of businesses were basically very worried and very concerned, and for very good reason, because you have 1.6 million businesses that actually were able to get loans, but you got about 30 million businesses across the country that may need to be serviced. So that's where the discrepancy came into play. So we expect this second round of funding to go just as quickly, if not faster, than the first. So if you have the loans already in the pipeline with your bank, community bank, or with a large lender, you want to follow up with your lenders and see where you're at in the process. Because that, like I said, some banks aren't even opening up their portals as far as getting online applications because the money is already, there's so much demand for these loans, a lot of it's already dried up just that quickly. So
where is this money going? Where is it going, Sean?
So basically what they're doing is it's going to small businesses. So the SBA defines a small business as any kind of business that has less than 500 employees. So that can be, now the thing about this particular loan that's very critical is that it could be forgiven if it's used for certain conditions. So the purpose of the loan is to cover the cost of retaining or rehiring employees. So the goal was to give money to small businesses that have 500 employees or less to keep them on the payrolls of these small businesses so they don't fall into the unemployment ranks. Now, you can still apply for some of the benefits we talked about last month. So if you're laid off, if you're got reduced hours, or if you're home taking care of someone who's sick, or if you have to even watch children because they're home from school, go and apply for your unemployment benefits. That is a separate issue as far as what this concerns. This concerns the actual businesses themselves that hire those employees. They can go to the SBA and get loans to cover their payroll expenses and certain other expenses under the program, okay? So the size of loans is determined by your monthly payroll costs. So anywhere between the lesser of $2 million to $10 million can be used for payroll. There's no application fees. The interest rate's about 1%. It has to be paid back within 2 years. And you can even defer payments for 6 months. There's no personal guarantees or collateral required, which is a big issue with normal loans. And payroll lending is capped at $100,000 per employee. So if you have an employee that makes $150,000, the banks are only going to lend to you up to $100,000 per employee. So whatever's in excess of $100,000, the employer has to make some kind of reconciliation on their own. Your loan could be forgiven if you use at least 75% of the funds to pay for payroll expenses. And that is a clock attached to that. So after you get your loan, there's 8 weeks from your closing date that you have to qualify your employees as being still on the payroll. If 75% of your funds are used to cover payroll expenses, then you're eligible to get either all or part of your loan forgiven. Okay, so that's one of the critical things about the loan. But that's one thing people need to understand is this was really a design to try and mitigate unemployment rates. Right now, we got close to 27 million people out there across the United States that are unemployed. And we're getting close to breaking the record set from the Great Depression. We're in excess of 20% of the employment of the population being unemployed during the Great Depression, during the 1920s to the early 30s. You're talking about 25% unemployment. So we're getting close to that number in just 6 weeks. So that's very, very critical to get this under control.
Do you think this will work?
It's helpful. It's definitely a mitigation tool. I think it's something that will help mitigate a lot of the problems. The big concern is that people have is that the forgiveness piece of the loan is very, very critical. I'm very thankful that they actually thought about that. And that's one of the things that we were talking about within the banking community is that the fact that having a part of that loan or having some kind of provision in the loan where these loans are forgivable makes a big difference, because one thing the businesses have to be careful about, especially in a downturn when you're not selling products, you're not moving services, is getting into too much debt. So if you get into too much debt and all of a sudden things do come back to normal, what are going to be the terms and conditions for you having to repay that debt? And that's where a lot of businesses fall into trouble and sometimes go out of business because they don't have enough money to cover their debt. So you know, that's one of the things. One thing to keep in mind is that if you have a loan in place now, cannot apply at multiple banks. So if you have a loan application already in the pipeline someplace, follow up with that lender or your loan application may get rejected. So you can use the money for payroll, rent, utilities, even interest on mortgages. You can't use it for the principal on your mortgage, but you can use the money for using interest on the mortgage. And any business that has less than 500 employees can apply. That includes, which is really critical, 501c3. So the difference between this type of loan and other loans is that in the past, like not-for-profits, religious organizations, different types of groups could not apply for these types of loans. This has opened up to self-employed people that are 501c3s, veteran organizations, things like that, as long as you meet the guideline of having at least less than 500 employees. That's one of the critical things. And so even franchises were using this. Now, the thing is, you saw on the news recently, a lot of people were upset about the fact that franchises, for example, because the Small Business Association doesn't really distinguish. It says if you have less than 500 employees, even if you have multiple locations, as long as each physical location employs less than 500 people, you can actually apply for this loan. So a lot of publicly traded companies were applying for this stimulus money, and some of them got approved. So, for example, it was a big article that came out in New York Times, was reported in USA Today, and Wall Street Journal, all these different places where Shake Shack, for example, is one of the main companies that got loans. So $500 million, according to the Wall Street Journal, went to publicly traded companies. Now, the problem with that is that these companies have other ways of getting money. They can basically raise stock. So okay. In the case of Shake Shack, they actually, just that same day when they got approved for a loan for $10 million, they went and raised $150 million through a public offering of stock, or a private equity offering of stock, actually, Class A common shares of stock. So if you can get $150 million in the private market, why would you take the spot away from a small business that needs money? Mm-hmm. So that there's legislation out there, or actually the SBA has actually announced that they expect these corporately traded companies, private publicly traded companies, to return their monies by May 7th. So about $80 million worth of that money has come back already. Shake Shack returned their loan. So they're expecting this money to come back before May 7th. Otherwise, we'll see what the government actually does to that.
Interesting. Sean Claiborne, of course, one of our outstanding members of the America's Heroes group, and we're always pleased to have him tell us about all of the money that comes and goes, because he certainly knows about it. And if you have a question, 312-374-8130. Sean, what do you think is going to happen at this point?
Well, this money's going to go quickly when it opens up on Monday. You'll see that coming out really, really fast. A lot of attention is focused on, which is critical and important, on the back end of things, like what are the effects of this coronavirus. One piece of advice as a financial advisor is let's start putting a lot of money into the try to prevent or to eliminate the threat in the first place. So sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We need to start getting money towards the healthcare workers and also to the hospitals and also to the research workers to help get a vaccine. Because at the end of the day, all the money you put into fighting the effects of the virus doesn't really stop the virus and doesn't really stop the problem. The main problem is the virus itself. So stop the virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
save money
at the
same time.
Yeah.
So that's one thing where I think we need to really focus on. One thing to keep in mind too about these types of loans, that they exclude a lot of businesses, even though they're very inclusive. So cannabis businesses are not included in this. You can't apply. Gambling, adult entertainment, banks and life insurance companies, although banks and small banks actually have money in other areas they can apply for. Private clubs are all excluded. Okay, so those are types of things you want to be careful about. And also one thing to keep in mind, if you're a business owner and you are applying for unemployment benefits and you're also trying to get money for the PPP or the Paycheck Protection Program, you got to be very careful how you do your accounting, because you want to make sure that you don't include yourself, your own personal payroll, in that loan amount. Otherwise, you could be subject to an audit, and that could backfire on you pretty nastily, and you might not even get your loan forgiven. So you want to be very careful about how you account for that, and make sure you have good CPAs on your side to make sure you're doing this correctly and doing it the right way. Because the banks, their job is to basically get this money out. The oversight is done by, you know, the SBA and other entities outside of the bank. So they're not really that closely, not the police out there trying to make sure that everything's in order. They do the applications and it's underwriting. It gets approved. Now you're kind of in a whole different boat. So you got to make sure your taxes are in line. Make sure you have a good CPA on your side. And make sure you're doing things. You're crossing all your T's and dotting your I's.
Are you being asked to help relative to that sort of thing?
Not really. What I do, like, if I'm a financial advisor, my focus is mostly on investments and also just looking at how small businesses can be. I can advise them about things that are out there.
I know
small businesses, they use me as a service and as a piece of information. So I do assist them in getting the information out there, like I'm doing today. That's one thing that's critical about small businesses, understanding to have someone in your background that can help you get the information that you need. But no, I'm not a loan officer. I don't do loans. Mm-hmm. But yes, this has been on our plate, and we talked about this in a lot of our meetings, not just within my own bank of Wintrust, but mm-hmm. also across yeah. different banks. Because a lot of companies, for example, we do a lot of work with the homeless. Through America's Heroes Group and other places. Mm-hmm. A lot of those organizations have been crunched because you can't keep shelters open when people are in close proximity. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep these facilities up and running? What do you do with the people that are using your services? So the homeless is one of the things we talk about. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that's very, very critical. But there's also other programs besides the Payroll Protection Program that are designed for helping people get through this crisis economically or financially. There's also the Economic Injury and Disaster Loan Program, okay? And that goes up to $2 million, or the IEDL. So you can get a fixed-rate loan for between 2.75 to 3.75 for 30 years. Now, it's not quite as the same as the PPP, but it has more leverage as far as what you can use the funds for. If you're hurt by this crisis, or since this is considered an economic disaster or a global financial disaster, or a natural disaster, so to speak, and within the guise of the federal government guidelines, you can actually apply for these types of funds. So that's been in operation since January 2020. And you can even get as low as small as $10,000. So nice about this program I like is that you can actually go and apply for the EIDL loan. Maybe you don't get approved for the loan, but you can actually get a cash advance up to $10,000 if you have a qualified application. And then if you are denied the loan, you still get to keep the funds. And one thing nice about these loans too, that they don't consider it as income. If your loan is forgiven by either the PPP or any other of these government programs at the moment, it's not considered income to your business. So you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Interesting. Very interesting. I have heard you, obviously you're a member of our board here at the America's Heroes Group, and your understanding of finances, and you do a great job at that. What do you think, Sean? Is because we listen to you and say, "Wow, what do you think is going to happen here?"
Eventually, things will go back to normal. I mean, my big concern is what I've been advising clients always is that you never know what's around the corner. We talked about this in your show many times before. Is that you got to get ready for the next, recession, right. Next depression, the next downturn. And here it is. So now the opportunity is, what do you do with this opportunity, with these low prices and things like that in the market? So this is a good time to think about starting a business, actually. Because if you can start a business and get your all your ducks in a row, so when the market or when the economy does reopen, you can actually start being more profitable, this is the time to do it. Because you're going to have a lot of businesses that don't make it through this crisis. So and there's going to be gaps left open for that. Also, this is a great opportunity for our state governments, local governments, even the federal government to step in and say, hey, how can we retool this economy So now that we have this downturn, what can we do to try to modernize our economy first? We have infrastructure spending needs to be done. That could be something that could be looked at. We have, for example, there was a report out in NPR the other day. They need 100,000 people to do tracing. You know, they have a shortage of 100,000. This is not just a temporary job. This is going to be a job that goes on for some years. But there's tracing people who have been in contact with the virus. So there's all kinds of job opportunities that are available. It's just that, are you in the right place? And are you looking in the right areas to find those jobs? And then also, too, you got to be careful as well, you know, because some of these jobs will be temporary. They might last a year or two, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. But some of these jobs are going to be permanent. And they're also going to open up new businesses and new things that we've never even thought of that's going to come out of this. Because once we come out of this, we're going to have to change the way we do business altogether. So the mayor of New York, wow. The governor of California came out and mentioned that they go to a restaurant. I mean, it's not going to be uncommon maybe for your menu to be disposable or to talk to a waiter that has a mask and gloves on. That might be the new normal. The digital economy that's out here right now, there's need for drivers to deliver food, deliver groceries. That might be something that's here to stay. I mean, it was already here before the crisis, but it really took off during this pandemic.
You think that might be here to stay?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, delivery services will be here to stay for the long haul. It was here before. I've used it in the past, you know, for food delivery, things like that, grocery delivery. My mother actually has been doing that for the last 5 years, getting all her groceries delivered from the store from Maryland.
But not because of some disease.
Not because of the disease, but I think some people will be very cautious having lived through this. So people that are thinking about, okay, well, how do I, because think about this, Cliff, it's the only thing I got to remember. This is probably not going to be the last time we go through something like this. Mm-hmm. We've had MERS, we've had SARS, we had H1N1. This is just the first time we've had something like COVID-19. Okay, and we can go through a lot of debates back and forth. We don't have all the information yet, but who knows what the government could have done to prevent it being as bad as it is right now, getting out as far as it is right now. Because we all know that there's already plans on the shows. If you worked in the military or been anywhere involved in national security, you know there's a contingency plan for damn near everything in the world. I mean, they have a contingency plan for aliens invading, believe it or not. So if that's the case, you know there's just about at least a dozen plans for pandemics. So why weren't any of these things were used? Mm-hmm. You know, we've been able to prevent everything from Ebola to SARS to H1N1, but this COVID-19, and keep in mind, those viruses did have major impacts around the world, not just in their countries of origin. So, I mean, mm-hmm. H1N1 spread around the world. I mean, mm-hmm. even here in the United States died from H1N1.
Sure.
So when you think about it and put that in perspective, you know, we have to start thinking about how in the future now do we prevent this from happening? And what if, God forbid, I'm not a scientist, so I can't speculate too far off the range, but mm-hmm. what happens if you get a year where there's maybe two viruses are out there mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we can't control? You know, mm-hmm. our planet's changing. Global warming is taking effect. It's a real serious concern. Our planet's reacting in ways we haven't even thought of. And things are just changing in the world. We haven't thought of natural disasters, fires in the West Coast. You got floods in places that didn't have floods before.
You're right.
And so all these things are coming together. So you have to really be prepared financially to think about, and I tell clients this, so if this business for this operation that doesn't work out, what's your backup plan? What's mm-hmm. your plan B? Mm-hmm. And probably need a plan B and a plan C. Mm-hmm. So think about what you have to work with, and also think about some other alternative to get some revenue streams coming in so that you're protected during those downturns. So don't build your ark when it's raining. Build your ark ahead of time. That's mm-hmm. kind of where the moral of that story is. Mm-hmm. But one other thing, too, before time runs out, there's also some IRA updates that has been put into place because of this pandemic. So there's no RMDs due. So if you're 70 years old or older, and also some people don't know, but the RMD age actually has moved from 70 and a half to 72 prior to all this happening. So if you turn 72, if you turn 70 this year, you don't have to take money out of your retirement account. That doesn't start till you turn 72 now. If you've already been taking RMDs prior to this year, so you turned 70 and a half last year or earlier, you still got to continue RMDs. But in 2020, because of the pandemic, you don't have to take out any funds out of your retirement account for the purpose of required minimum distributions. Then also, if you took money out already because you didn't plan on this happening, maybe in January, if you did your withdrawal within 60 days, you can put that money back. You can roll it over into another IRA as long as it was an inherited IRA. So if it was a non-inherited IRA, something that you work for, your 401k plan, your IRA that you set up at the bank yourself, you can cancel, so to speak, or roll over your RMD as long as it was done within the last 60 days. So that way it saves you money in your taxes. You want to claim the money as income on your taxes this year. If you need to take money out of your IRA prematurely because you need money for an emergency, or, you know, your income has been cut for whatever reason, if you're affected in some kind of way by the COVID-19 experience, or because of the work at home, or the shelter in place orders, or whatever it may be, taking care of children because they're home from school and they can't go to school, you can actually take your money out of your IRA without a penalty this year. So up until the end of this year, there's no tax penalties on early withdrawals from your IRAs, as long as if it's COVID-19 related, either affecting you physically or financially.
That's great. Sean Claiborne is with us, giving us great information, as he always does. Our number is 312-374-8130. We have a caller, Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I want to ask your guest. Obama had infrastructure set up to deal with the coronavirus and other viruses that may pop up. I was wondering, because Donald Trump dismantled it, if he had anything to speak on about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm critical about in this particular case, we talked about this on our show before, is that Trump had a whole slew of people that was in his administration that are seasoned, military, intelligent, strong individuals. He had General Mattis, General John Kelly, General McMaster, General Kellogg, Admiral Fears. These guys were in his administration that are the types of guys you want around you when something like this happens. They have experience. They know what's going on. They're on. They got the finger on the ball, and they know where all the stuff is. They know where all the plans are. They know where all the resources are, and they can mobilize things very, very quickly. All of these guys either got fired or quit. So when he came into office, he basically, you know, created such a toxic environment where he had a revolving door of people that knew what they were doing and knew what was going on. So when you take those out of the equation, when something really serious happens, we've been talking about this, is that, okay, you have a president who is great on PR, he's great with handling, you know, manipulating the media and things like that. He's a great showman, a great game show host even. But the thing is that what is he going to do when a crisis actually happens? So now we got a real crisis that affects the world, and you can't just, you know, spin it out of yourself out of this. You can't talk your way out of this. You got to actually do something. And you also got to work with all the governors across the country and all the state and local authorities around the country to make something happen. You can't just pass the buck off to somebody else and fire them if they mess up. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to work this time around. So that's what we're seeing unfold with us right now. So we have basically a person who's really not cut out for this type of job. This is way outside of the scope of his expertise, way outside the scope of what he does, way outside the scope of what his experiences are. I mean, what he's good at is basically getting into debt. Now, he's filed bankruptcy on his businesses 6 times. He's filed bankruptcy. And what he's doing right now is getting the United States into debt. Now, our we've borrowed over $3 trillion to try to cover this pandemic. But I still yet to see, like I mentioned before, is the focus is on the after effect of what's happening. But what about focusing on monies into trying to stop the problem? So do you put buckets under the water when the roof is leaking, you just keep putting more buckets out? Or do you say, oh, no, let's get on the roof and fix the leak?
Yeah. Interesting. You're really on point. Well, you always are, Sean. That's what you do. So, give us a close.
Well, one thing is I want to say, everybody be safe. Make sure you wear your mask. Like before, it's so important for us to chip in and try to work together. One thing in the military we learn is working as part of a team, and there's no more a critical time than this time to work together as a team with everybody, people that you like and don't like. You got to go out there and basically do what you need to do your part. Wear your gloves. I've been seeing people throw their gloves out in the street when they get off out of their cars and then throw trash around. This is also a test to how we behave as regular individuals and U.S. citizens. Clean up your mess. Don't litter outside in the street. Take your stuff. Wash your hands. Put masks on, not just for yourself, but for other people. Because if you get sick and you're not wearing the proper protection, you can infect somebody else. And that could be somebody's life you're talking about. So be a little more cautious and be more mindful of what's going on around you, but also be more mindful and more considerate of people around you so we don't get this thing out of control.
Sean, you're great. I want to thank you so much. And, of course, you're being a member of America's Heroes Group.
roundtable panelists.
Yes, right, roundtable panelists.
The one and only. Financially speaking with Mr. Sean Claiborne.
Thank you, Sean. You're great. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right, sir.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep. And now we are going, of course, to none other than, hey.
Executive producer
Glenda Smith.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you all for always, global listening audience, for participating on the radio, watching via Facebook Live to America's Heroes Group. Regarding any concerns or questions about affordable housing, social service, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group, 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wecker Drive, Suite 4250. As always, once again, I thank you all for watching us live on Facebook. Please make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and the community. As always, we are extremely grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders, and our article on veterans, armed forces, and their family members can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the only governor of talk radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, the article is Voices. In the Chicago Crusaders newspaper, please call Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads, that's ADS, at ChicagoCrusaders.com and request a subscription to Mr. Titus Williams, to Mrs. Letiera Wendels. I always get your name wrong. I am so smart. Sorry, sweetheart. To Lady T. Thank you guys for being the best technical producers at WVON and always helping us get this show together and keeping it balanced. So let me try your name one more time. Letiera Wendels, Miss Lady T. To our global listening audience, business partners, sponsors, panelists, have a blessed and safe weekend.